Always appreciate being here. Oh, I'm excited what God is doing. I want you to turn in your Bibles to John 21. Title for the message this morning is, What is That to You? Also known as, It's None of Your Business, okay? In John 21, we have the story of Peter, and you know, Jesus has been crucified, he's resurrected, he shows himself to his disciples, and the disciples are disillusioned, and they go out fishing, and Jesus appears, he calls to Peter, Peter drops everything, if you will, and he swims to shore, and then the next thing that we see is that Jesus is making breakfast for his disciples. And after they had eaten breakfast, Jesus speaks directly to Peter because Peter has denied Christ and he doesn't know really what to do. And he asks Peter, he says, Do you love me? And Peter responds, Yes, Lord. And again, Peter, Do you love me? And he responds, Yes, Lord. And a third time, and Peter's kind of troubled after three times, and he says, Lord, you know that I love you. And then we see this passage in John 21, starting in verse 18. And Jesus says to Peter, Most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. And this he spoke, signifying by what death he, Peter, would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, Follow me. It's interesting because Peter is saying, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And then Jesus prophesies to him. And he prophesies, he says, when you were young, you can go and do what you please. You can go as you will. But when you are older, you're going to be bound. Now you dress yourself. Now you figure it out. But then they're going to take you where you don't want to go. It will be out of your control. And he says, your hands will be stretched out. And it says this was an indication of the way that Peter would glorify God in his death. And basically, Peter was going to be crucified. Tradition has it that Peter was crucified upside down because he didn't feel worthy to die in the same way that the Lord Jesus had died. But it's interesting then, after Jesus prophesies, Jesus calls Peter again by the exact same wording. He says, Peter, basically follow me. In the same way that he had picked Peter out of the ones that were fishing along the shore 3.5 years earlier, then he said, come, follow me. Now he is saying, follow me. But now Peter has the benefit of 3.5 years of following Jesus. He has context to put what this looks like and what this means. But at the same time, he has that context, but he still doesn't know what's ahead because now everything has changed. See, Jesus is really, he's telling Peter, I'm ushering in the next season of your life, the next season of your ministry. In the midst of Peter's failure, he gets ushered into the next season of life and ministry, which goes far beyond anything he's ever done. And I want us to hear that this morning, because many times a failure or a falling or a difficult situation, a circumstance that we regret, we'd really not rather have lived through, those things will many times, God will take them and use them to usher us into the next season of life if we will let him. The only thing that Peter could have done to dissuade this is to basically give up and quit. Peter could have said, okay, I'm going fishing and I'm just going to stay out in the boat. And when Jesus calls again, he says, you know, I think I just like it out here on the ocean on the sea, wherever he was. We can say no to Jesus. But see, Jesus doesn't let us go. Because you've committed your life to him, you are his, okay? That was the deal that you made. When you committed your life to the Lord, you committed your life to him, to his purpose, in his service, whatever it is that he wants. You are no longer your own, the Bible says, but you've been bought with a price. Not only did you give him your life, he purchased it. So you are his. He is not just a wonderful God person. He is your master. And we don't understand that in our democracy. We don't like this idea of somehow he is a master, and yet he is a benevolent master. He's a father. He loves us very much. He wants our best. But make no mistake, if we are fully serving him, he is in control. He is leading. We are not. You are not. Does that make sense? And the sooner we settle that in our hearts, the better. See, even though Peter fell, even though he denied Christ, Christ never denied him. Even though Peter said, I don't know you, Jesus never said to Peter, well, I don't know you either. You see, with God, there's no revenge, there's no pettiness, there's none of this, well, if you're not going to love me, I'm not going to love you. No, his love is unconditional. And when you and I fail, when we fall, he says, I'm still loving you. I still have my purpose for you. I still have my plan that I want you to pursue. There's still that destiny that I have placed before you that you can walk into and walk out. But see, when we realize that God looks at our failure, looks at our situation, we realize his love. When we realize that he really hasn't left us, he's never forsaken us, we realize, and it humbles us, because you get to see your own humanity. You get to see just how you're not all that, okay? And it's like, so he reveals that to us, and we are able then to recognize God is everything that he has promised. We're going to fall short. We're not going to do what we think we know we should. I mean, you know, some of us, man, let's just leave that. But we're humbled at our humanity. And we realize that God really does love. So just because you've fallen, just because you've made a mistake, just because you didn't speak right, just because you didn't do right, just because, you know what, that doesn't mean God has left you. You may have left God, but he's never left you. The Bible says, even when we are faithless, 2 Timothy, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. So realize that he is faithful even when you're not. So quit holding those things against yourself. Quit holding that regret. Quit holding on to the past. Quit defining yourself by what you didn't do or what you did that wasn't right. Quit defining yourself by those things. It's a new day. It's a new season. And God wants to take those things and allow him to propel you into that next season. Now, that's what he's doing with Peter. So in verse 20, Peter then turning around saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following. And John is the one that he's talking about here. He defines that. He doesn't call himself by name, but he says, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, is the one who is the one that betrays you? Peter, seeing this man, John, him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? What about him? And Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. After this exchange with Jesus, Peter turns and sees John. John identifies himself as the one that Peter is seeing. And Peter says, well, what about him? And Jesus' reply is interesting. He doesn't talk about John. He doesn't say, well, he's going to have this and this, and, you know, here's how he's going to die. None of that. Peter basically says, what is that to you? In other words, it's none of your business. Sometimes it's far easier for us to fix other people's problems than it is to actually allow God to fix our own. Sometimes we look at other people, we look at their situations, we look at their families, we look at their marriages, we look at the things that they struggle with, and we say, God, you need to fix them. God, you need to do this for them. And yeah, he probably does. But how many of the times should we really look at ourselves and we pray for people but leave them up to God? How many times have someone made a decision not to do what you think they should have done? Not to be involved in the things that they should have been involved in according to you. Everybody, if I'm supposed to, you know, we have this thought. If I'm called to do something, if I'm going to be involved in an activity, well, everybody should be involved in an activity. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. But see, we like people, and we like the safety and the security of knowing, well, you know what? If I'm called to do it, everybody should be called to do it. You know what? If I'm called to fast, everybody should be called to fast. How many of you are called to fast? Well, me neither. So you shouldn't any of you be called to fast. But, you know, you might be called. But, you know, if I've got to go with food for 5 days because God put that on my heart, everybody should be suffering with me. Hallelujah. Misery loves company, so they say. Okay. It's not miserable, but you understand what I'm saying. It's like we tend to think that if one person is called to do something, then everybody should get on board with what I'm called to do. So, you know, but it's just, we look at other people, and I think Jesus looks at that and says, what is that to you? You follow me. That was the word to Peter. You follow me. It's far easier to look at what someone else isn't doing than to say, yes, Lord, I'll do what you're asking me to do. Because sometimes God will ask you to do things that he's not asking anybody else to do. And it's lonely. It's hard sometimes. But what it does is it means that you have to rely on God himself to get you through. And when you do that, you realize that he really is faithful. You really can count on his promises. It's a training experience because he wants you to know that. Sometimes the road that he asks us to travel is the road that not many people travel. And that's okay. See, it's none of our business to worry about what others are called to do. Jesus, he has a unique purpose, a unique destiny for each of us. One person's calling may lead him in a certain direction. Another person's calling will lead them in a different direction. The key is to be obedient to what God is asking you to do, what he's asking me to do. Jesus told Peter, if I want him to remain till I come, what is that to you? None of your concern. See, Peter was concerned with John, but he should have been focused on himself. Jesus was focused on Peter. And sometimes when God really dials down on our lives, we kind of shrink back from the gaze. Instead of really looking at his face, okay, God, you've put your finger on this aspect of my life. Okay, God, you put your finger on my marriage. You put your finger on my parenting. Okay, God, you put your finger on my business. I don't know if I like you looking that closely. Let me just kind of shrink back over here into a corner. And the Lord says, no, just come forward. Come into my light because I want to do a work in your life that unless you step forward is not going to happen. Unless you step up, it's not going to happen. Now, it's interesting. Peter was a doer. John was a lover. He was the one that reclined with Jesus. It was different. You know, each was used in a powerful way according to their gifting. Yet each man walked a different path, totally different path. We see Jesus, he goes out, he ascends. The disciples are there looking. They go back to the upper room, and Peter becomes basically the leader. He begins to say, hey, let's do this. We need to do this. It's important for us. And Peter was the primary leader, the primary spokesperson for the early church. We don't hear about John during this time. He's there. But Peter is front and center. Peter's taking charge. Peter's walking in ways that nobody else has walked in. Peter is doing what God has called him to do. Peter walks. He preaches the sermons. He goes, you know, to the temple. We see these things that Peter is doing. Then he goes and he takes the gospel to the Gentiles. We still don't hear much about John. And Peter died about, according to tradition, about 34 years after this prophecy. We still don't hear much about John because John's impact came later. He wrote the letters of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. He wrote the book of Revelations. Peter had already died when these were written. And yet John had a different kind of impact. See, sometimes we look at our lives and we say, I'm too old. You know what? What God calls old is never too old. I mean, Abram was 99 years old when the promise was fulfilled through him. Don't say that you're too old. You can say you might be a little tired. I get it, okay? I do. I'm not young anymore. But, you know, sometimes we disqualify ourselves, and we shouldn't. We need to be willing to say, God, if you want me to do something, fine. And we say, but Lord, you're going to have to do it. I've done things that I, in my own strength, knew I couldn't do. I didn't have the money for. I didn't even want to do them. But I knew what God was calling me to do. And so I said, okay, Lord, I will be obedient. I'll do these things, but you got to understand something. I'm not the brightest cookie in the jar. And I don't have the money to do this. So I'm willing, I'm available, here am I, send me, let's go. But God, you're going to have to pay for it, and you're going to have to guide me as we go. I can't go without those things. Guess what? God provided. He did it. And it makes you think, because it's like, okay, what else does God want me to do that I have no clue yet for? Wow, okay. Thank you, Lord. He wants us to step out believing that what he has spoken, he will do. What he has promised, he will provide. John's impact came much later, and yet it was a great impact. And both persons, both men's lives reflected their calling, reflected their obedience, reflected their willingness to let God utilize them for his purpose. How about you this morning? Are you willing to let God and his purpose be reflected in you? Are you willing not to focus on what everybody else is called to do or isn't called to do, and focus on what you're called to do? Because see, I believe, and I've come here to say this morning, that, you know, the season is in front of you that God is leading you into. But you have to say yes. You have to say, at least say, okay. Okay, God. I mean, you know, and it's really a matter of heart. It's not about speaking the words so much as it's about giving up and saying, okay, whatever you want, Lord, you're going to get me through. You know, it's interesting. We worshiped this morning, and we experienced some things, and yet I think there's people here that were like, why are we singing so long? I'm not going to single you out. That's okay. But do you know why we were singing so long? Is because we serve such an awesome God. He's worthy of our worship. See, if you don't realize that he hears our prayer, he hears our praise. He's listening. He hears. He said, oh, he turns his ear. He says, those people at Lansdowne, they're singing again. I love it when they sing. Even the ones that can't sing, I love it when they sing. The Bible says to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Some of us are singers and some of us are joyful noisers. I'll let you to figure out which one's which. Hallelujah. Because you see, God says, I hear your praise and I love it. But I see your obedience and I love that even more. Let's stand together. I want to invite the worship team to come. I want to invite you this morning. I want to invite you this morning to turn your face towards Jesus, not away from him. I want to invite you this morning to make a commitment that you're going to continue to walk, because there's some people here, you know what God's called you to do, but you haven't actively taken a step forward in that. And God would say to you, when you take the step forward, I'll meet you there. But you have to take the step in faith, believing that I have called you, believing that I will meet you, and then you will see the reality of your faith. You need to make a commitment this morning to take that step forward. And it's scary because you've never been that way before. And you're stepping off of a beaten path and you're stepping into a narrow path that not many people have been down, and it's kind of overgrown. And, you know, it's not, doesn't look near as attractive. And maybe nobody's going to go with me. But nevertheless, he's calling you, because as that path will unfold before you, there's going to be things down that path that you will not discover or know any other way. And they are for you. Would you set your face toward the Lord this morning? And if that's you, I'm not going to ask you necessarily to come forward. This is between you and God, but we're going to worship. And as you do that, I want you to sing. But if you need to say, okay, Lord, I'm setting my face toward you. You know what I'm talking about. You know what this means. Just stop singing. Do business with God. Receive, accept whatever's on his heart. And then come back to worship. Let's worship together.